Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson for the day, Jesus begins by saying something that is repeated three times. A little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then later on, in verse 20, he says to his disciples, very frankly, he says, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, one of the things that the Lord Jesus is doing here for his disciples is speaking about the crosses that a Christian must bear and the comfort that he must draw from the gospel of Christ. All Christians shall bear a cross. In our lesson, a little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me. And he says that this is because he goes to the Father. In other words, God's work of redemption is going ahead as planned. It is going to be fulfilled and completed for all sinners. But this involves, on the behalf of Christ, it involves suffering, pain, loss, and death. And on the part of his disciples, it also entails a great deal of suffering and tribulation before joy returns. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. All right, so following Jesus involves patiently bearing the crosses which he lays upon us. St. Paul adds to this by saying this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So, cross bearing, affliction, trouble is part of the life of every Christian, and it should not strike us as shocking when we have to deal with trouble, affliction, discomfort, and loss. St. Paul says in Acts chapter 14, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, modern people, just like the disciples, have a hard time. What's this? What's he on about? And that's what the disciples are saying. So in our lesson, we read, some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and because I go to the Father. And they said, therefore, what is it that he says? We cannot tell what he says. You get the idea that the disciples didn't know what Jesus was talking about? They are filled with sorrow. They now know that he is going to be rejected by the elders of the people and that he will be put to death. But they have no idea how to make sense of this. And it's brought them to a place where they are standing at the edge of a cliff and they don't know what to think, and they are confused. They are also filled, like we modern people are, with false illusions and a theology of glory. And the false illusion is this: wait a minute. If you have God's Messiah with you and for you, why should you ever expect hardship, difficulty, and trouble? And, or, you know, if I have Jesus in my life, everything has to come up roses all the time. And there are many Christians who, in time of tribulation and affliction, they can't withstand the heat of the moment, and they begin to backslide and fall away because they thought that somehow or other, being a Christian and having Jesus in your life exempts you from problems and troubles. But Jesus has already told us, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. The disciples experienced that literally. We often experience it figuratively. There are times in our life where it seems to us that Jesus has disappeared. There are times of trouble and affliction and want and need in our lives when our prayers seem to be bouncing off the ceiling and coming back down on our heads. There are times when we can't see the helping hand of God at work, and we begin to think, maybe I've been wrong to put my eggs in Jesus' basket. Maybe I have been wrong to expect help from the Lord of glory. You see, when we are under the false illusion that discipleship to Christ exempts us from tribulation and cross-bearing, we must always return to these disciples who are standing on a precipice, not knowing what to think. They love Jesus, they believe in Jesus, but all of their training and their upbringing and it has not prepared them for this. And they are confused, and they are under the false illusion that any day now, Jesus is going to eat his spinach and show himself mighty and strong. He's going to kill off all the Romans, and he's going to establish the kingdom of God on earth, and we are going to be his right-hand men. This is an illusion, right? An illusion. It is a theology of glory, and it's the way modern Christians feel whenever they think that somehow believing in Jesus is supposed to mean that you never have any problems. So why is it that God lays crosses upon his beloved children? And the answer is partly described in our gospel lesson. In our gospel lesson, Jesus says, a woman, when she is in labor, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. All right. What this is saying is this, that as unpleasant as cross-bearing and trouble may be, God sends these things for our benefit. Just as the woman cries out in labor and goes through a very tough time as she is going through her period of labor, and then when the child is born, It all begins to make sense. So it is with cross bearing. God does not send these things into our life flippantly, but he has a good and gracious purpose. And his good and gracious purpose is to teach us to focus and believe and cling to the Word of God alone in every trouble. You know, the minute that adversity comes into our life and we no longer are feeling those happy religious feelings because our minds are disturbed by the troubles that we are facing, all right? We think that if we can conjure up a good feeling in ourselves, or if we can somehow or other find a way to negate the negativity that we're experiencing, if we can only return to the way we felt yesterday when everything was going well, then that will be the solution. But God wants us to know and to believe that the only solution is his gracious work to us and for us, which he accomplishes with us by means of his word. And so he allows there to be times in our life when all we have is the word. All of the other supports, like our emotions and like prosperity and good times, these have all fled away. All these extra supports have fled away. There's only one thing that we have, and that is the Word. And what God is doing in every cross that we bear and every tribulation that we deal with is he is teaching us and pushing us and urging us to cling to his Word. We are naturally lazy and diffident when it comes to spiritual things. And therefore, God uses cross-bearing. He uses our crosses and our troubles to drive us to his word, to drive us away from every thing that we use instead of his word. He drives us to his word so that our faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Our crosses are used to show us how precious the Word of God is and how we must trust in it alone. How many times didn't the disciples get told by Jesus, "Listen, guys, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be rejected by the elders. He will be mocked and spit upon. He will be put to death. And on the third day, he will rise again." In each of the Gospels, this is mentioned numerous times. Therefore, Jesus must have said it many times. And the disciples had many occasions to let these words sink into their ears. But somehow or other, as it is with people listening to sermons, sometimes things go in one ear, and they go right out the other. Did he say that? Right? And so the point I'm trying to make is that had the disciples fully internalized, you know what they were thinking, whenever he said that, he's using metaphorical language. He's telling a parable, right? He wasn't telling a parable. And now they are confronted with it right in their face, and they don't know what to think. You see, whenever God gives us his word, we must receive it. We must cling to it. And we must not let any substitute take its place in our life. God lays crosses upon us for our good, No woman enjoys her time in labor, but every woman who is not insane enjoys cuddling her newborn baby. Right? So this is why God lays crosses upon us. What is our comfort in our cross bearing? Well, we have one thing. Here Jesus is telling them, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. The thing we don't notice is that Jesus is there with them in their sorrow, and he is comforting them in their sorrow. And so, one of the comforts as we endure crosses is that the Lord is with us and that he is our help in every trouble, and he is our comfort. A second truth that comforts us in our afflictions is Jesus' words, "I go to the Father." In another place, he says, "Because I live, ye shall live also." When Jesus says, "I am going to the Father," he implies, he doesn't come right out and say it, but he implies, "And someday you will follow me and go to the Father, and the Father and I and you will be together for all eternity in peace and joy." In our lesson today, in verse 20, "Verily I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice." And that's exactly what happened. Jesus was arrested, he was tried, he was condemned, he was beaten, he was crucified, dead, and buried. The disciples wept and lamented over this. The world was having happy days are here again. Why? Because the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not want the light. And therefore the world always rejoices when Jesus and his word are mocked and are diminished in the world. And so it is that Jesus says, "You shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice." But here's where the brakes come screeching on. The world's rejoicing ends in eternal damnation. You hear me what I'm saying here? The world's laughter ends in hell for those who do not repent of their sins. The laughter of the world and the mockery of the world is short-lived. But for the Christian, our sorrow, our trouble, our tribulation, our crosses are short-lived. But our rejoicing is everlasting. He says, "You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." He says, "Now you have sorrow, but I will see you again." He's talking about the resurrection. "And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." This is the wonderful truth of believing in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Weeping may spend the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There may be times of cross-bearing troubles and affliction that come into our lives, but these things are never the last word about us. Though they may last longer than we ever anticipated, they are not the last word about us. The last word is the forgiveness of sins, life, and everlasting salvation for every soul that believeth in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. when you rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, you are rejoicing with a joy that no man can take away from you, a joy that will still be shining out from your hearts through all eternity. Weeping may spend the night, but joy cometh in the morning. In our here and now, we may bear our crosses, but Christ is with us, he helps us, and he comforts us. And one day, he will receive us to himself in glory, and there will be no sorrow, no difficulty, no crosses whatsoever, because God himself shall wipe away tears from all faces. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.